Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to yet another exciting episode of the Vinny Eastwood Show. I prostrate myself before you, the audience, and I grovel at your feet. The reason why I do this is because, hey, there ain't no way out, okay? Except through the enemy. When you are surrounded, when you don't have any food, when you don't have any water, because your general destroyed it in the middle of the night. You fight harder to get through that enemy army to get home to your children. When people tell you that the situation is hopeless, sometimes that's indeed the greatest motivating factor that you can possibly have. Because it's amazing what a person with no hope can achieve. It's something that actually gives you hope to behold. My very special guest today is Max Egan, the legendary Aussie counterpart. Wait a second. Am I the... People keep calling me the Alex Jones of New Zealand, but I think I'm more like the Max Egan of New Zealand. Maybe very different again. I'm very, very different to a whole lot of people, but also very similar in so many ways, because everybody that's better than me in just a little bit, I usually try to take a little bit of that away with me. And I hope you do too. Max Egan from thecrowhouse.com. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Vinny. Thanks for asking me on, brother. Nice to come and talk to you again.
It's been turbulent times for you. I know you've had a death in the family, and I know that you're... rushed off your feet, so I actually appreciate you taking the time out to even come on the show at this point, mate.
That's all good, brother. Yeah, pretty hectic schedule ahead. It's been like that for a little while now. I've got to pretty well run off my feet until June, but looking forward to June. Looking forward to June, I'll be able to kick back. But even when I get to June, I want to spend the time working on a new film, so that's what I got planned for the year. Get all the stuff out of the way before I get, you know, settled in Peru, and then just kick back and do the film.
As you do. Now, we are going to be talking about what the word psyops means, what the word shill means, and why these terms are often misunderstood and misused by people in the truth movement who've not let you learn the word discernment. Now, this is going to offend a lot of people, and that's good, because it should. The truth often is offensive, and if you're offending both sides of one particular argument, that's the sure sign that both of those sides have been lying and you've been right all along.
Well, yeah, it's like that. Look, these terms are bandied about so much lately. The term shill is just applied to anybody who disagrees with you these days. It's just absolutely ridiculous, and this is not what a shill is. It's actually embarrassing to see how people are using this word. You know, a shill is like if you're a faith healer, Vinny, and I come into the temple and I'm in a wheelchair and I pretend that you heal my legs, and then everyone starts throwing you money. That's a shill, okay? If you're selling snake oil and I walk in and say, yes, that snake oil cured my warts, and everyone starts buying your stuff, and then we run off with a lot of money, that's a shill, okay? The way people are using this term, it's just ridiculous. They're not using it. A shill is not someone who disagrees with you and is working for the government. That's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. You know, you're accusing people of being controlled opposition, and you're not using the right terminology. And it's kind of embarrassing, because it discredits the movement. It discredits, you know, anything to do with truth when we can't even use words in their correct context. And it's the same with PSYOP. You know, when I identified the whole flat earth, globe earth debate as being a PSYOP, I wasn't saying that one side was particularly true. I was saying that the movement is being played as a divisive mechanism. It's being played as a psyop. You know, it's a psychological operation that's being used to divide the community. And if you just look at what this movement has done, it's at loggerheads. It's put everybody at loggerheads with each other, because you've got two sides stating an absolute. And everybody's arguing, if you listen to the flat earthers and the globe earthers talking to each other, each one of them is saying, you can't prove the earth's flat, and the globe earthers are saying, prove the globe. That's their whole baseline when it comes down to it, is prove the globe.
Yeah.
And ultimately, there are five models that are put forth for this earth, and not one of them can adequately explain reality, not yet. You know, the jury's still out as far as I'm concerned. And I get accused of being, like, people put out videos saying Max Egan lying shill for the ball earth, because I don't agree that the earth is flat, because I'm not able to take a position, because as far as I'm concerned, the jury's still out on all the models. There isn't one model, like I said, that explains reality adequately. and no model that answers all of the things that are here. So why am I expected to take a position, and why am I accused of having a position simply because I won't take on someone else's belief system? You know what I'm saying? So you get involved in this circular paradoxical argument. It's an argument that's completely paradoxical, and you can't ever win the argument. No one can win from either side because each side is demanding absolutes when there are no absolutes.
I think you've just identified precisely what I found out yesterday and the day before yesterday, because after we had a conversation about this, I sort of gone, okay, let's just test this theory then. And I put some Flat Earth related posts up on my Facebook, and it is precisely as you describe. Now, it appears, or at least symptomatic, of a cult-like behavior. Now, let me explain to the audience just what I mean by that. Cult-like behavior is when you believe in one absolute truth to the point where you're a fundamentalist, to the point where reasoning and rationality doesn't really come into it. Now, there's a spectrum of that as well. I've been able to reason some people out of their abusing me and attacking me and repeating themselves and so on and so forth, so that we can come to an understanding, because they assume that I'm 100% ball earth, whereas my money's actually sitting on the holographic universe, that all of this is actually just a hologram that we're living in real time in a form of game on a cosmic level. That's kind of sort of where I'm heading, but I don't have the evidence to prove that. I don't have the evidence to prove that we're on a ball. I don't have the evidence to say that we're on a flat earth. And more to the point, I do not possess the mathematical know-how or the scientific training in order to understand the equations that are given to prove the ball, the earth is what it is anyway. So, and a lot of people share my ignorance of that situation. Now, this is where you can get really fervent arguments that go for 15 hours max without a conclusion.
Well, absolutely. It's a paradoxical argument. It's a circle argument, you know, a circular argument. And that's why it's such an effective divisive mechanism. Because if you can get someone to lock themselves into one side of the belief system and demand absolutes from the other side, well, it's just going to go on forever the way it has for the last, I don't know, how long have we been here? What, 26,000 years or something? That's about how long it's gone on. And it can go on as long as you want it to. And my argument is that if we were to establish freedom, and I really believe we have a real opportunity for freedom right now. I think that's what this time is. I think that the human race has one of the greatest opportunities for freedom that's ever been presented to them. And if we were to embrace that opportunity and actually stand up and just call this system out for what it is, then we would actually have the freedom to go and put all of these mysteries to rest once and for all. Find out what's going on. Find out what sort of a place we do live in. Go and do these explorations. But, you know, at the moment, it's just a circular argument that's got us caught up in infighting. And that's what the whole movement is. It's just the infighting. I mean, the obsessive amount of hate mail that I get, I mean, it's over the top. I mean, it's slowed down now since I did a show about it recently and addressed that issue on a show. It's actually slowed down in the last couple of months.
That's ironic. But,
well, yeah, I was targeted. I was quite literally targeted. And you've got to ask why. Why are certain people being targeted? And why is all of this divisive mechanism taking place now when we're all fighting the same battle?
Well, you know, hold on a sec, Max. There was something that you actually told me in private, that you were actually kind of like not even wanting to check your own emails that are coming in through thecrowhouse.com because you're just so tired of the amount of emails that keep coming through full of abuse from Flat Earth people. So that's an interesting point to query on for a second here, is if you can make your point and if your argument is sound, can you do it without calling us names? Can you do it without abusing us? Can you do it without gang stalking us? No, you can't? Why not? Why not?
Well, the fact that this happens, I mean, a lot of the flat earthers that I've spoken to are good people. There's nothing wrong with these people. You know, they're not all hateful people. So that indicates to me this is an operation. Someone's doing this. I mean, it isn't just Eric Dubé putting up websites saying Max Egan is a shill and suggesting that people email me. It isn't just Santos suggesting that people email me. Well, he's put up a website. He's got a forum or something with, you know, Max Egan is a shill. There's you know, videos out there, like I said, Max Egan lying shill for the ball earth, all this sort of rubbish, you know, like assuming that's my position when I've made it very clear I don't have one. But it isn't just that. It isn't just people Because I honestly don't think a lot of the people that you know on Facebook or on YouTube videos, and a lot of people even post negative comments. So I don't think a lot of these people are going to go to the trouble of going to my website and actually sending me hate mail. So this seems to be some sort of a targeted thing. You know, it just doesn't seem right. And like I said, it slowed down recently. But, you know, there seems to be a concerted effort to get everybody to focus on this issue, or at least get into the debate on this issue. Enter into the debate. Please enter into the debate. Even if you know, whatever side you're on, they just want you to enter into the debate. And it's a circular debate.
Noticed. And that's why I tested it as well, because I do want to get to the bottom of this. I would actually like to know whether or not I'm living on a ball or a flat surface or a hologram or whatever. But what I found was, it's exactly what you say, that circular argument. So it goes on forever. And what it did is yesterday I indulged and just kind of experiment. How long can I drag this out? And after about 15 hours participating in various threads and things like that with no resolution, no end in sight, it occurred to me that this is indeed what the PSYOP is about. If you drop the poison in the water, eventually it will dilute, but it means everybody who gets to drink that large amount of water starts to get poisoned, starts to get slowed down, starts to get a little bit sick of it. And it occurs to me that a very similar tactic is implied in United States elections, where you have what you call a negative campaign. So if you are attacking all the time, what you do is you drive out all the ordinary, decent, caring, loving people who really don't approve of that behavior but still want to be a part of the debate. And so it becomes more extreme, but the people who are on your side are usually the last ones to get disgusted enough to shy away from the debate. And thus, the flat earth movement grows with this kind of cancerous parasite. There are people in the flat earth movement who aren't like that, don't like that kind of behavior, and wish it would stop too, I'd imagine.
Well, of course, that's what I'm saying. I mean, most of the flat earthers that I speak to are nice people. There's nothing wrong with it. And there's nothing wrong with this type of research. It's just the calling of absolutes that's the problem. Calling them absolutes from both sides, and both sides abusing each other and calling each other idiots and all this sort of stuff. You know, if you don't buy into my beliefs,
it's religion.
You're an idiot. It's okay. Yeah, it's dogmatic.
Ladies and gentlemen. You know. I did this once. I Googled the one truth, because some people were like telling me this on thing. Oh, I've got the one truth. I've got the only truth. And I go, okay, I'm just going to Google what is the one truth. And you know what comes up? Hundreds of thousands and millions of websites all devoted to religion. All sorts of different religions who all disagree with each other, all claiming to have the one truth and not backing down, who keep growing and growing and growing. Does it sound a little bit familiar?
Yeah, well, that's the way it works, you know, and that's the problem, you know. Like, it's people stating absolutes, and there's a lot of interesting stuff that's been presented by the movement. There's been a lot of stuff that that shows the flaws in science. There's a lot of things that are wrong with what we're being told. And it could be presented in a very positive way. It could be presented in a way that actually exposes science and suggests that science is, in fact, so flawed to the extent that, who knows, the Earth could even be flat. And you could put that sort of a thought into the minds of people, which would cause them to actually want to look at the research and actually to respect the research. And the fact that it hasn't been presented in that way, there is the PSYOP. The fact that it's been presented as an argument of absolutes when it's a circular argument that has no absolutes indicates that it's a PSYOP. That's how a PSYOP works, irrespective of what the actual truth is. And that is the problem. And if people can't see how they're being played, well, God help us all.
I want to see the origins of the psychological operations when you actually conduct an operation that involves a whole lot of people and you're trying to achieve an objective. Now, what have we learned from this? Let's say theoretically this flat earth thing is a genuine PSYOP. It's not an accidentally, it just started to become popular because a bunch of people really did believe it and made some fairly compelling videos that don't quite prove it, but they say that it does because they think it does. Now, what did we learn from the truth movement's reaction to this? Did it start going viral kind of thing? I've seen a number of people commentating on this, and months ago, there was no flat earth debate at all that was really visible. Now, it's everywhere. That was how quick it happened. It just arose from nothing and all of a sudden now it's the big thing. Why?
Yeah, well, you know, astroturfing. I'm sure it's astroturfing. That's how it was done, and it's like you say, it's been promoted so quickly, and people. The scary part is that people have been so willing to lock their minds into absolute belief systems over this debate. When, like I said, it's not an absolute. There is no absolutes in any of it. Not even in the whole heliocentric globe. There's no absolutes there. Which is why I tend to lean towards a holographic theory as well. Because I mean, there is no model so far that's been constructed by anybody that can account for all the anomalies and all the things that happen. You know, there's stuff that happens on this Earth which just shouldn't happen on a heliocentric Earth, and there's stuff that happens that shouldn't happen on a flat Earth. So, what do we got here? You know, we don't really know what's going on. And anyone who's calling absolutes on these arguments is just creating argument. They're not creating debate. They're not creating discussion. They're creating argument because it's a problem where there are no absolutes. But it's been quite amazing to see how quickly people have adopted an absolute mindset. Mm. And not only that, but how quickly they've turned on their friends who won't adopt this same mindset and won't adopt this same belief system. I've had people that I know literally posting stuff on my threads. There's someone that I know whose name I won't mention actually posted on my thread and said, gee, it must have been terrible to take that flight with John Travolta. And I'm like, what are you talking about? What flight with John Travolta? Apparently John Travolta did some flight from Sydney to Santiago or something. I don't know, in some new aircraft or something. I don't know. I don't really know much about it. But apparently someone had posted. They'd got a little snippet out of a news clip or something of some Australian voice saying g'day to John Travolta and said, oh, that's Max Egan's voice, and posted it. And there's a friend of mine who's actually posted on my thread, gee, it must be terrible taking that flight with John Travolta. And I've gone, well, what do you mean? What flight? And then they go, oh, you know, but, you know, rah, rah, rah. It just seems coincidence that that's when that flight happened and that's when you made your video and rah, rah, rah. And I've said, well, why didn't you ask me about it? And they said, well, I just did. And I said, well, no, you didn't. You got me on Skype. You didn't ask me. You posted in an accusing manner. You assumed that it had happened, and you posted that comment publicly on a thread. That's not asking me if I did the flight. And this is the sort of mindset that it does with people. It turns people against their friends. It turns people against anyone who won't adopt their belief system. So what is this? What is it in this movement that does that to people, that turns it from a discussion into an absolute and an argument? This is something strange is going on here. Something very, very strange is going on here because it doesn't make sense. It removes all possibility of discussion, all possibility of intelligent discourse, and turns it into an us and them accusation or argument, and it makes no sense at all.
Now, clearly, religious persecution has worked out well for everybody traditionally. So why not just continue this?
Yeah, well, it's kind of like that, though, isn't it? It's kind of like that. That's the dogmatic part of it, and it really makes no sense. And I'm quite happy to discuss these things with people. But the unfortunate thing is, if you enter into a discussion with a flat earther, if you're someone such as myself, who's actually an announcer, someone with a public face that people actually listen to, they expect you to be supporting their belief system. And if you don't adopt their belief system by the end of the discussion, they're out there calling you a government agent or controlled opposition or whatever because you didn't buy into their belief system. Mm. And this is completely counterproductive. It removes all possibility of any type of furthering your path on the quest for knowledge. I mean, as soon as you lock yourself into a belief, what are you going to learn from that point? What if something comes along which questions your belief? You know, you've got to keep your mind open. And I get accused of having a closed mind because I won't adopt the flat earth belief system. It's interesting. That's a circular argument in itself.
I got called a sheep. So, like me, I got called a sheep. It's just like...
Because you won't adopt a belief system.
Exactly.
Because they're saying if you don't adopt this belief system, then you believe in the globe.
Here's the irony. Because I won't follow blindly like part of a herd, I'm a sheep.
This is the dogmatic part of it. But I mean, it's the same with science. I mean, what the flat earthers are saying about science, it's the same thing. People follow science like a sheep. People follow religion like a sheep. They follow their government like a sheep. They follow the money system like a sheep. I mean, all of these movements, it's all the same. I mean, personally, like I said, you know, you can't actually completely prove any model. So for me, the jury's still out. And I think it's the calling of absolutes that is the problem.
I do not like the concept of following in the first place.
Well, no. I like to keep my mind open, Vinny.
Mm. We do need to see if this can be not only understood, but I'm not sure exactly if it's a problem that can be solved, because it's interesting to see it play out. It's like being a doctor, watching a disease ravage a patient's body and wonder what the hell caused this disease and how exactly do we make the patient better. It's not about killing the disease. It's about making the person who suffers from it better, right? Now, when we say flat earther, just like you can say truther, and there's actually a certain element within the truth movement that fit that exact description, because they're definitely not part of the truth movement, because people who are part of the truth movement value facts and evidence over belief and accusation.
Yeah, I can agree with that to an extent. In their credit, a lot of people do present a very compelling case to people, you know, and I can fully understand why people have adopted this belief that the earth is flat. I can fully understand it, and I have no qualms saying that. There is some very compelling things that you know, what we're being told is not quite right. I mean, we all know NASA's completely full of it, you know. I mean, the moon landing and, I mean, for God's sake, but anyway, that's another topic. But, you know, I can understand why people have done this, and they honestly believe they have evidence, but what they don't seem to understand is that they don't have all the evidence. They don't have enough evidence to say conclusively that this is the way it is. The same as people who absolutely state that the whole heliocentric model we're offered is absolutely how it is. You can't say that with any model. You just can't say it. There is no absolute. So, you know, from thousands and thousands of years, people thought the earth was flat, and these were intelligent people. You know, there's no problem with that. I don't have a problem, like I said, with the movement at all. I don't have a problem with the research. I'm concerned with the way it's been played, and I'm concerned with the divisive mechanism that it is. It's been constructed that way, and it's been presented that way. And if people within the movement can, you know, stop the dogmatic approach, and even the Globers as well can stop the dogmatic approach and stop attacking each other, then perhaps we can create some unity, realize that we have been lied to on just about every single thing that we can think of, really. But yeah, and that's another thing, is it? And they're saying, oh, this can expose the big lie. Well, hang on, if you're trying to expose the fact that the government's lied to us, I think you're about 400 or 500 years too late. You know, everybody knows that they lie to us. It's figuring out how to get out of the mesh that they've created and the net that we're stuck in, you know. And saying that this is going to do it, I just don't think it will, because it's a circular argument that can't be proven. All it's going to do is lock you into endless argument. It's not something you can debate, not unless it's presented differently to the way it's being presented now.
Now, that said, you bring up, they do bring up a gargantuan amount of valid points. That's why I'm not willing to come down on one side or the other. because what we're talking about here, I've talked to pilots. Indeed, the owner of this network is a pilot, and he's actually been up in such high altitude that you can see the curvature for yourself, kind of thing. So I don't think it's flat, but I'm not 100% sure that the universe is the way we're saying it. But it doesn't actually matter what we think. What matters is, can we have a mature discussion about it without accusations, logical fallacies, without resorting to aggression and emailing people in a stalking type manner for not quickly buying what it is that you're selling. Now, it's like the Kung Fu Master. The Kung Fu Master is patient. He's calm, even though he's kicking ass.
Well, yeah, exactly. You know, when all of this came out, I mean, I got so much mail about it. And I thought, well, look, okay, I'll give it the benefit of the doubt. And I watched a few of the videos, and I thought, well, you know, none of this is compelling. None of this is, you know, I mean, some of it is, it's interesting, and sure, it makes you wonder, but none of it convinces me. So why don't I go and check for myself? And then fortunately, a guy posted a geodetic survey that he'd done, which showed one arc minute of curve per mile. And I thought, that's interesting. So I went out and I found a local surveyor and I gave him a case of beer and said, hey, let's measure for curvature. And he found one arc minute per mile as well. Very close. He found very, very close to what the other guy on YouTube had found. So, you know, I went out and I did the actual studies in the real world, and I thought, well, how do I do the study? The best thing to do is to go to someone who actually does these things, i.e. someone who makes maps and actually surveys large areas of ground. So let's go and talk about how you measure for curvature And do you apply this 8 inches per mile squared trigonometry to line of sight? And they've all said, no, you don't. That's not how you test for curvature. That's not how you measure curvature. You never do that. It's just, you couldn't, because line of sight's always going to change. I mean, you can do it over water, but it's going to change. You just can't do it. You know, it doesn't work that way. And, over 60 miles or 70 miles or 100 miles, there's 1 to 2 degrees of curvature. And they showed it to me, and I thought, well, okay, well, that's interesting. So to me, okay. Well, and then when I tried to put that on the table, the response I got from someone who believes in the flat earth was, oh, surveyors are Freemasons. And then they closed the debate. That was the end of their debate. That was their whole comeback. They were not interested in the research. They were not interested in the results. That was their whole thing. Surveyors are Freemasons. And I thought, well, hang on, this is a theodolite. It's an instrument. You can look through it yourself. It's an instrument that measures minute degrees of angle. You know, it'll measure down in arc seconds. You know, and for people who don't understand that, you know, you've got 360 degrees in a circle. Well, 1 degree is 1 degree. An arc minute is 1/60th of 1 degree. And an arc second is 1/60th of 1 minute. So these are very, very fine calculations in angles and things. And this is how all maps are made. This is how things are measured. This is how they measure across to build bridges. And this is how they do all. This is how every map that the flat earthers are using and every map that the globe earthers are using, the whole lot, were all made using these instruments. So why would they want to ignore the findings of one of this instrument, regardless of whether the person, as I said, is a Freemason or a Lion Tamer? It doesn't matter. The instrument is still going to give the same reading. And if the instrument is measuring curvature, then that should say something. You know, and why can't I put that on the table without being accused of being a government agent who's trying to misdirect people from the truth that the earth is flat? I mean, that's just an absurd argument. It's an absurd argument, and it's no way to respond to the readings of an instrument. I mean, this instrument, they've been using these things, 1576, I think, the theodolite was invented. They've been using these things to make maps since then, and they take into account Earth's curvature when they make the maps and when they build the buildings and build the bridges. And if the math's wrong, as people would suggest, I heard someone suggest the other day, oh, this is geodetic surveying, and they base their whole calculations on the assumption that the Earth is a globe, and that's what they base all their mathematics on. Okay, well, if they do that and they build all these structures from it, well, how come the structures are standing if the maths is wrong? You know, I mean, and what is the right math? You can't just say that without giving us what the right math is and explaining why all their structures are standing if they're using the wrong math, and they have been for the last 500-600 years. You know, so
I've seen government spokespeople say, "Oh, there's no evidence," or "Yes, there's evidence. It's very clear. The science is settled, etc." And the way that you can tell that they're lying is they don't explain what that mathematics is, what that science is, what the actual reasons are. They simply repeat a statement several times and expect that repeated statement, without any information to justify its validity, is sufficient.
Well, exactly. And, you know, I went out and I asked the surveyors, and that's what they said. And now I get accused of whatever, rah, rah, rah. Are you qualified to make that statement? I said, no, I'm not. I'm not qualified to make any statement. That's why I went and asked the surveyor. You know, and wouldn't that be the first thing that you do? Wouldn't that be the first thing if you really want to know what the curvature is and if it's there? I mean, obviously line of sight, you know, what you're seeing with your eyes, because light bends, light refracts, you know, different hazes. You just don't know. You don't know. You know, it's too much of a messy area to say, oh, you can just do it off a visual of the horizon. It's too much of a gray area. It's really the least provable point because of the way light refracts. You just can't really tell. If you want an accurate reading, then you need to get an accurate instrument and actually measure what's going on. And so that's what I did. And, you know, they told me something, and okay, well, that's interesting. That is an indication that it's a globe, at least where I live. At least there's curvature where I live. So why not conduct this test all around the world in different places? Everybody who's part of this movement should go and conduct this survey test in their local area and see if they can detect any curvature in their local area and post the results, instead of what they're believing on what people are telling them on YouTube simply because it looks that way. You know, I mean, things aren't always the way they seem. I mean, I think that we need to actually look at all these things and investigate them before stating absolutes on anything, you know. And the way I've been attacked for even saying that, suggesting that the results that the surveyors provide me with, and I did check with two surveyors. I didn't just take the word of the guy online who did it, who's a nice guy. I met him in Acapulco. He's a lovely guy. But I didn't just take his word for it. I went and got a local guy to do it for me as well, and he gave me a similar result. So, you know, people should do these sorts of things and not attack those who post this type of information. I mean, the way I got attacked for making that flight across the Southern Ocean from Sydney to Santiago, ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous to attack someone that way and accuse me of faking the flight. I mean, this is a flight. I mean, if you try to book a seat on this flight, it's actually hard to get a seat on it because so many people take this flight. And talking of the crew, you know, the people going from Sydney to Santiago.
They must
every
all be in on it.
Well, people going from Sydney to Santiago every 2 days and then from Santiago to Sydney every 2 days as well. You're talking about 2,500 to 3,000 people a week that use this flight. And the reason it's so hard to get a seat on it is because you can fly from Sydney to Santiago in 11.5 hours on this flight. If you go by New Zealand, like I've got to do next week, it's like 3 hours to New Zealand, and then it's 11.5 hours from New Zealand. So, you know, you've got to book this flight months ahead if you want a seat on it because it's a very, very popular flight because South America is a very, very popular tourist destination. And to claim this flight is not real is completely counterproductive and does not help any argument. And when I put out that video, I was simply trying to clear up that noise and say, hey, look, guys, you've been sold a red herring with this particular piece of information. Regardless of what shape you think the earth is, these flights are real. They're taken by at least 2,000 people, if not 3,000 people a week. And you can't just make claims like this. It's ridiculous.
How many ridiculous claims can be made? Okay, who was it that told me this? It was John Ansell, who's a former ad man who was in charge of a very, very successful New Zealand election campaign one time. And he said that basically what you've got to do is you've got to cater to people who are driving past you at 100 miles an hour. All right? Because that's how quick that people are traveling on a freeway when they see a billboard. You've got to be able to grab their attention like that. Okay, so what do? You show them pictures of, you know, the earth without the curvature. Out a plane window or whatever, you know, really quick, simple, easy to understand information that sinks right in to the subconscious, latches hold of it like an octopus eating a squid.
Well, yeah, subliminals everywhere. There's definitely a lot of that going on.
Now, I do think that this is indeed a symptom of a wider problem in the truth movement, this infighting issue. Are we capable of being, who was it that told me this? If you want to be a better man, you've got to act like a better person than you are. You know?
Well, yeah. You know, when you in your actions, I mean, I always try to say, you know, are you the type of person that you would want to have as a friend? Would you want to hang around you? You know, are you a pleasure to be around? You know, is your company enlightening? Is it helpful to people? You know, these are important things to ask, you know. And even when you say things to people, you know, is it necessary to say it? You know, and even with that rant I had the other day, that, like I said, that was pure frustration. That was an off-air rant. That actually got posted, the MP3. I forgot to trim the end of the MP3 when I posted it on the website. And I got so many emails from people that had heard it. And I went, oh, my God, I better delete it. And they said, no, you shouldn't delete it, Max. You should post it because, you know, everybody wants to say this. And I thought, okay, well, hell, I'll say it because it's good that people see I'm real anyway. And I have emotions. I'm frankly sick of all this rubbish. I'm sick of all this infighting. We've got to stop the infighting. We really do. So, yeah, you know, whatever we can, we just got to respect people's that people are going to have different ideas and different opinions. And if we can debate these things and discuss them. Well, not even debate them, just discuss them. I suppose debate them, but keep it, you know, respectful, and realize that people are going to think differently to you. And with this issue, you know, you can't state absolutes. It's a circular argument. It's a circular issue, and it's been so effective in dividing the movement. You know, I really wish everybody, even the Globers, the Flat Earthers, anybody, whoever's investing anything, whatever rabbit hole you're in, just step back for a moment and have a look at what this world is doing. Well, we are all arguing about which belief system people should buy into. You know, people get access to information, they get access to a certain amount of information, they lock themselves into a belief system, and then they try to inflict it upon anybody else. And it's kind of really counterproductive. You know, and very often we might adopt a belief system. I mean, the ironic part is with the Flat Earth movement, is that they want to save the world. They want to heal the world of all its troubles. and yet they're attacking and belittling and creating huge waves of division with anybody who questions their belief. And isn't it about saving the world and healing it? You know, why are we all fighting? Why are you screaming at people if you want to heal them, if you want to heal the world? Why are you involved in something so divisive and so argumentative when it could be presented in a much more concise and much more accessible way and a much more friendly way? Why has it been constructed as what it is, with this huge wedge that it's driven into the response to the system, which is what it's done? It absolutely has done that, you know. And another disturbing part I'm finding about it is honestly, is people saying that, look, now that we know the earth is flat, it means that there's a God and everybody has to do the right thing. And I'm thinking, honestly, if it takes you believing that the world is flat or believing the world is any particular shape at all for you to be a good, kind, caring person to do the right thing, I feel extremely sorry for you. I really do. You know, I try to do the right thing in all that I do anyway, regardless of the shape of this construct. And, you know, I have a beautiful connection with the Creator, whatever the Creator is. I have my own particular connection to what I believe the Creator is. I don't need any religion to get in the way. I don't need to believe that this construct is any particular shape, because I don't think that's what it's about. I think it's a quest for knowledge. It's a quest for the expressions of human potential. You know, we have the potential to do something incredible at this time in history. We really do. If we could just put down all our stuff, put down all our rabbit holes, and just step into ourselves, step out of the fear, you know, because all this is based in fear. It's all, you know, ultimately, there's only fear and love, isn't there? And what is love? Love is not fear. That's what it is. And it's not being fearful of stepping into who and what you are. That's what loving yourself really is. It isn't being all warm and fuzzy about yourself and looking in the mirror and saying how great you are. It's not having the fear to be yourself. You know, step out of that. Step out of that. Love yourself by expressing yourself and not being afraid of being who you are, you know. And if we can all do that, we'll find a way out of this. But we can't lock ourselves into belief systems and try to inflict them on others. You know, get over yourself. Get over your belief system, you know. I don't even have any belief system, you know. Anything, everything that I put on the shows, and when I say, well, I believe this and I believe that, well, okay, these are my understandings of things, but I don't expect anyone else to adopt these understandings or take on my belief system at all. I'm simply putting myself out there in attempt to help others because I want to change the human condition. That's been my goal since day one. That's what this whole thing is about. And I think we have a real opportunity to do that now if we can just put down our beliefs and stop fighting with each other and inflicting ourselves upon each other. It's just counterproductive. It doesn't get us anywhere. It only helps this system further itself and further come online. And, you know, if we don't pay attention to this time, then we're going to be kicking ourselves. We really are, Vinny.
Well, I did ask the question, let's say theoretically you learn tomorrow that the world is flat rather than a ball, right? Now, after a couple of weeks go by, after the realization kind of like dies away, how does your daily life change, right?
Exactly.
Do you practice a different walk down to the shop to get your milk now because the earth is flat and not round? Or no, the whole- does absolutely nothing change in any way? And is there a large portion of this movement who are simply religious confirmation bias cultists that have adopted this because it's the newest pseudoscientific evidence to support their belief that an all-powerful creator created them and controls everything so that they don't have to take responsibility for their own actions or how they treat other people online?
Well, you know, yeah, they believe, though, that if people know the world is flat, then it means people will have to take responsibility for their actions. And I would suggest that they should do that anyway is the problem, you know. Of course, what they say, oh, well, what it means is that there's more land, so the world isn't overpopulated. Well, hang on, the world isn't overpopulated anyway. So, you know, there's better ways of doing things. There really is. So, but it is definitely a religious thing to many people, and it's also like another savior program. This is the big secret. This is the one thing that's going to free humanity, the one big simple step that we can take that's going to free humanity. And we don't have to do any inner work ourselves. We don't have to change our perspective. We don't have to be friendly or respect each other or any of this sort of stuff. We only have to do that once everybody knows that there's a God looking down on us. It's making sure we do the right thing, you know.
That doesn't sound like a religious fundamentalist cult-like con in any way.
No, not at all, not at all. So that's the issue that I find with it. You know, it's another savior. It's another savior thing, and I really believe people have to do the inner work. They have to put down the fear of being themselves and stand up and call this system out for what it is. You know, the world's run by a bunch of criminals, And we could simply stand up and say, hey, look, we've decided that we're going to do something else now. Yeah, none of us are going to do what our politicians are telling us to do anymore because you guys are our employees and basically you're destroying the entire world and we're not interested in doing that anymore. So we're going to do something else. And we're not ever going to do that until we learn to respect each other and respect that people are going to have different ideas and different concepts of what's actually going on here. And my argument, like I said, is that what we need to do is establish the freedom to prove which concept is true before we go stating absolutes on anything.
Now, we can make a list of all the arguments that you can enter into, which are endless debates. Religion's one of them. Politics is one of them. Science is one of them. Medicine is one of them. You know, like, basically, it just comes down to this. What are you willing to waste your time arguing about till the end of time instead of actually doing something with the knowledge that you currently have to better the world for those in the future?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You just put it in a soundbite. Vinny, good on you.
I am really sick of people telling me that I'm not open-minded, telling me that I'm ignorant, telling me that I need to accept what they're telling me, right? I don't like that. You know why I don't like it, ladies and gentlemen? Because it's authoritative. And you may have noticed, I don't like authority.
Yeah, I mean, but like, you know, with everything, Vinny, like I said, you know, this could be, if we can find a way of getting people to stop the dogmatic approach and stating absolutes, there is a certain amount of unity in the flat earth community. And, you know, and as I said, a lot of these people are good people who are looking for answers, who believe they have valid arguments. In many of their arguments are quite valid. So,
yeah.
You know, if people can put down the dogmatic approach, like I said, and simply present it in a different way, yeah, as a possibility. I mean, unfortunately, there's been a lot of damage done already because there's been so much infighting and there's been so much stating of absolutes and there's been so much posting of negative information and creating of division with people.
Well, I wonder,
full attempt to discredit the independent media as much as possible from certain figures.
That's what I was going to think about. I mean, what reflection does the whole flat earth discussion have upon the independent media? I mean, think about this. The mainstream media, have they mentioned the flat earth at all? No. It's been strictly confined to the alternative media circuit. Now, what if it's trying to distract the alternative media now from something? What if the New World Order's figured out not only how to control the mainstream media, but also to influence the alternative media as well?
Oh, yeah, well, they've been doing that for a while. Of course they have. It'd be silly to think that they're not. And, you know, and look, honestly, when you look at it, when you look at the fact that Illuminati card deck is frighteningly accurate. And the fact that there's a flat earth card in the Illuminati card deck and the fact that Obama mentioned it twice, I think he mentioned it. He mentioned one time he said, we don't have time for a meeting of the Flat Earth Society. And another time I think he said, I'll speak to anybody except someone from the Flat Earth Society. So twice he's dropped that. And he's done that because he wants people to jump down this rabbit hole and enter into this circular argument. This is totally scripted. You know, a lot of people said, oh, he's said that because he knows, you know. No, he wouldn't have said it if he was trying to hide it from you. He said it because he
wants you to
investigate.
That's where the hype came from. That's where the popularity came from. The president started to mention it, and then, boom, all of a sudden the alternative community jumps on it like fish on a hook.
Of course. And that's exactly what it was for, because it's a circular argument. It's a paradoxical argument that can never be answered, that is going to tie this entire independent media, that is, it's the perfect circular argument to insert into a community that has a conspiratorial mindset. It's absolutely perfect, regardless of what the shape of the construct is.
It's a weaponized
concept. And I would suggest it has. It's even, imagine if the Earth is flat and they put this whole ball thing out there simply so they could put this argument back in the fray at exactly the right time as they are locking this police state down and bringing World War III online, which is exactly what they are doing.
What if they've been holding on to this card until they had to play it? What if they were waiting to a point where there was such an awakening going on that they had a whole bunch of tricks up their sleeve to play so that they could placate us for a little while longer while they continue and then finally get their initial setup of the New World Order power structure through all the trade deals and the intergovernmental panels?
Funny that that's all happening around us, isn't it, Vinny? You know, this has been inserted into the fray. And that's the thing. It's a circular argument. And I can say that. I can say, what if the Earth is actually flat? Because, like I said, no debate has yet been proven. You know, so, you know, what I can find, you know, from my friend, talking to my friends, the surveyors, they would indicate that the Earth's a globe. But that's, you know, not proven. I mean, nothing is proven yet. There are no absolutes. So my mind is completely open on the whole thing. But frankly, I think it's irrelevant. I don't think it's about the shape of the construct at all. I think it's what we do with ourselves and what we do with our time here. And I think if we miss this opportunity that this time is providing us, then it's going to look very bad for us.
And for those of you who are not part of the Flat Earth movement, who really, really hate them, and this is the other thing, there's an exact reflection and of the precise same behavior in both movements. There are really aggressive, ballists. What would you call a ballist? It sounds like dodgy word now. But they're really crazy too and really aggressive, and they're totally devoted to science versus the other people who are totally devoted to what they think is science or what they think is faith or whatever, right? But the thing is, they're both trying to convince each other that they're wrong, right? They're both trying to convince each other that the other side is stupid or that the other side is crazy. But when was the last time you successfully convinced a crazy person they were nuts or a moron that they were stupid? That's what I thought.
Yeah. Yeah, it's exactly like that. You know, it's exactly like that. I mean, it's just a circular argument. It really is. You know, and I get insults from people who believe in the heliocentric model as well. But why are we even giving this even entertaining this debate, you know? And the reason I'm entertaining the debate is because I really want to try to create some unity back in this movement, because it's been such an effective divisive mechanism. And I think it's really important that both sides of the debate see how they're being played on this issue. Like you say, they're both just hating on each other. And you can find videos, flat earth videos, that have got, you know, hundreds of thousands of views and, you know, 3,000-4,000 comments, and it's all this back and forth, tit for tat, hatred, and it's got to stop. So that's why I've entered into this debate, just to try to inject a little bit of sanity into it, you know.
Well, I want to thank you both personally and behalf of the entire truth movement, not only that you just decided that you would put that out there. I mean, initially it was accidental, but many an intentionally good thing has been done by accident, I think, because I saw this video one time, Max, and it wasn't about Flat Earth or anything. It was about leadership. What a leader does is he stands out by himself and he does his thing and he says the truth or whatever, and then one person stands up behind them, and that's also a very important role. But then another person stands up behind them, and all of a sudden a change starts to happen as everybody starts to realize that there's a movement happening, that there's an awakening going on, that there is something to follow, there is something to join. But it only takes that first person to start speaking out and that second person to start backing them up and maybe that third person to start stepping into the fray before everything starts to landslide the world away.
Well, yeah, you know, and I appreciate that video probably shocked a lot of people because of the amount of F-bombs that I let loose. But, hey, that's just me in a state of frustration and passion. You know, I'm an Australian. We swear a lot. That's just the way it is. If you don't like it, well, that's a problem for you. You know, and I have no problem with posting that at all. I make no apologies for posting that. I have no qualms in putting that information out there. And just expressing that I am a real person and I do have emotions and I do get passionate. And, you know, it's honestly a debate that is so circular that it gets you in that state of frustration. And I'm sure that you have flat earthers doing the same thing, sitting behind their computer, literally screaming at the screen because people won't accept what they're saying. And, you know, and it's just this ridiculous thing. And it has been so frustrating to be getting all of this bombardment. Like I said, it's slowed down. It's slowed down lately, all the hate mail. But then getting someone who's a friend of mine actually go on a public interview recently who I mentioned on that clip, And say the most toxic things about me, very, very untrue things. A person who's actually been to my house, who knows I live in a garage, to be saying that sort of stuff, it's absolutely disgraceful. And it deserved a response, I think. And rather than getting out there and doing the tit-for-tat thing, well, okay, I'll just play the after the show banter, because that basically summed it up. That summed my feelings up on that particular day. So
I've been through this movement, and I've seen a lot of people go at each other, and I see things happening, and I've been trying to quiz myself as to what it is that turns good people against each other. You know, if you know two good people, but one of them starts to go out of bounds between what's kind of socially acceptable behavior, that kind of thing, who appears to change all of a sudden, what causes that change? And the study's been that I've been kind of looking into has been closer to psychopathy, possession, but more closer to personality disorders inflicted through trauma, because often a lot of these cases where people will start fights with each other is because one of them's going through an incredibly hard time, maybe even both of them at the same time, and they feel alone. They don't feel like anybody's there to support them, even those who are closest to them, even those who, if they just picked up the phone and call, would be there by their side helping them out in a heartbeat. And it's really sad to see sometimes.
Well, it is, and you got to ask those questions. I mean, that particular individual in question could have come here. I mean, I live, you know, an hour and a half, 2 hours from where he lives. He could have come here. He's quite welcome here. He could come here, stay. He could talk, you know, come and talk to me about anything. I mean, you know, the door's quite open, and he knows that. So yeah, it is strange. So you've got to wonder what causes these sort of outbursts in people, and what causes them to change. It is very counterproductive. It's extremely counterproductive. I mean, maybe possession, maybe trauma, maybe any number of possibilities. But yeah, I mean, I've never that rant that I posted, like I said, that was an off-air rant that originally was posted unintentionally, and that's the first time that I've ever actually mentioned anybody, I think, online. I've never, if you look at my website or listen to any of my shows, I've never defamed anybody. I've made a point of it. Even if I disagree with someone's research, I don't defame them. I don't make accusations about people. I don't open up pages of my opinion of people on my website, you know, especially people that I haven't met. I mean, I would never do that. But you find a lot of that online. You find a lot of people defaming people they've never met while proclaiming, you know, to be in states of love and all this sort of stuff. You know, it's ridiculous, you know. But I think it deserves some sort of response. And like I said, I have no qualms in posting it. But it is interesting. I mean, I'm not angry about it. I'm more hurt about what's happened, but I'm also concerned because, like I said, it's like this individual has lost his mind. There's a change that's happened. This is not the individual that I know. He wouldn't normally do anything like what he's doing. So there's obviously some sort of a breakdown going on. What's caused it? Is it simply this whole flat earth thing, or is it a result of trauma? Mm-hmm. Is it just someone with vastly conflicting belief systems as well? I mean, also there's the possibility that this individual has perhaps at last woken up, had an epiphany. I remember when I had an epiphany in 2008, I had a meditation experience that I've very often related on radio shows, where I basically connected to everything. I connected to what seemed like a quantum field of multiple universes. It was incredible. And I've often related to it, so there's no point going through it again. But when I had that experience, I hear an ad coming on.
Well, we got about 60 seconds of that music, maybe 30. Go for your life.
Okay, well, when I had that experience, I did have that moment where I thought, oh, my God, am I the one? Am I the second coming? You know, and as soon as I had that experience, I went, oh, my God, isn't it interesting that I would have thought that? I didn't run with it, but I thought, isn't it interesting? And in that moment, I understood why all these people suddenly think, oh, my God, I'm the second coming. Perhaps he's had that experience and he's run with it. You know, that's a possibility as well.
What was it? Fight Club. People see it and they see it every day. They see themselves as they'd like to be, but they don't have the courage you have to just run with it. And sometimes when you run with it, it's because you've kind of lost your mind. We'll be right back after the break, ladies and gentlemen, on the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Doesn't matter how dark things get, you can always find your way back home here at American Freedom Radio. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. This is hour number two. It is the fastest 2 hours in talk radio, the lighter side of genocide. Just because we're being exterminated doesn't mean we can't make it fun. Otherwise, what's the point of being killed? My very special guest is from thecrowhouse.com, Australia's own. I'm not talking about the beer, the beverage, Max Egan. Welcome to the show again. We have...
Thank you, Vinny.
...indulged in a open discussion about this, and it is when the people that are close to you, that you kind of treat sort of as your brother, you know, say mean and hurtful things about you or to you, it cuts deep a hell of a lot worse than just some random person you don't know on a YouTube comment section. It actually has a real deep emotional impact that takes, I don't know, for me sometimes it can take a week, maybe even two, to sort of shake the urge to sort of like be aggressive and attack back. But I know that those kind of things is exactly what will exacerbate the situation and make it worse. And so it's in restraining yourself and containing the poison that you need to help other people and do some nice things and do some nice things with people in order to alleviate that bad energy.
Well, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, that's why I didn't really respond. You know, I mean, I posted that rant, but like I said, that was an after-show rant, and, you know, I could have been a lot harder. So, yeah, you know, it's all good. I forgive, you know, it's just the way it is, but I think it was unnecessary.
I forgive people who apologize, because I know that psychopaths can't apologize. The closest thing they can come is, well, I'm sorry you feel that way.
Well, yeah, you know, but then I've got to wonder, because there's been such a personality change. You know, I've got to wonder whether this is there's outside intervention in this, or whether it's just simply someone hitting the wall, having a breakdown. You know, none of it really makes sense. So I'm prepared to give, you know, everything the benefit of a doubt. But you know, it could have been, even like I said, that type of an epiphany moment. Like, honestly, it's an amazing moment. I had that. I honestly did. For that moment, I just thought, oh, my God, you know, am I the one? And when that happened, you know, as soon as it happened, I thought, wow, isn't that trippy that I just thought that, you know? And then I understood. I understood why all these people have had this moment, like David Icke and all sorts of people, David Shaler. They get this epiphany. And they go, oh, my God, I've just had this massive download of information. Now I understand what's going on in this reality kind of thing. I understand how it works. But it's almost impossible to convey the information to anybody, because it's kind of this emotional language, this electromagnetic language that I don't really know how to speak. I don't really know how to tell people exactly what I experienced. I mean, I've tried to so many times, but, you know, but you have that moment and you go, wow. And then I could understand why people have run with this. You know,
could you actually describe that moment in like vivid detail? Is it that kind of graphic? Because it might actually give insight into how the mind kind of processes this and why it shoots off in different directions sometimes.
Well, you know, you have this epiphany where you just connect with whatever it is, the creator, the source,
I mean, you personally.
Universe. What did I feel? What was it like?
Yeah,
I fell out of my chair and I took a huge breath, and I fell out of my chair and I fell to my knees on the floor and I cried for 7.5 hours. That's how it affected me. And if I even tried to tell anybody about it, it took me about 2 weeks before I could even tell anybody about it. Because as soon as I'd start to talk about it, I'd start sobbing again. I can't even explain it, Vinny. It was the most powerful experience of my life. And but it's nothing that I can explain to you. But having had that experience, I can understand why people would go, oh, my God, I'm the one. And I think what happens with people is that they're maybe, I don't know, their ego kicks in or something and they run with it. They think, oh, yes, it is me, you know, and they do that. I mean, that could explain this individual's actions. But then the vitriol of his comments, the vitriol of his hatred and the animosity that directs towards others would belie that possibility.
Let's back this up a bit, because we're talking about a huge emotional event, like crying for 7.5 hours. That's nothing small. I remember one time when I was putting some curry on my eggs that I was cooking, some curry powder on the eggs I was cooking, just like my dad did, and all of a sudden I just freaking doubled over, just bawling my eyes out because my dad had died a couple of years ago, sort of thing. And I kept repeating myself, I was just a boy, I was just a boy, because having been without my dad for so long, even when I was young, let alone to have him die after basically 15 years of no contact, it had hurt me really deeply at the time. But it was only when I've had this one trigger where all of a sudden I realized what it was that I felt bad about. I've been trying to distract myself. I've been trying to do the right thing in all sorts of different directions for so long because of that experience. Because my dad hadn't been there for me, I'm now trying to be here sort of like in a semi-quasi-father figure role to a lot of the truth movement and activists and everything, because they're all going through a hell of a lot of trauma and stuff like that, and I want to help them because I've been through shit like that.
Well, yeah, well, you know, that moment for me, it was like reality just exploded in a quantum field. Like I say, it's like I suddenly connected with, I can't even tell you how many universes. And it was like I connected with all of the emotion in all of the universes. I could feel all the emotion of everybody on the earth. I could feel all the joy. I could feel all the love. I could feel all the hatred. I could feel all the pain and suffering. I could feel it all. I could feel the emotional journey of the earth. I could feel like the emotional journey of the universe. I can't even explain it to you. It was a really, really profound moment. And just to have that downloaded into me, and what affected me the most was the pain and how easy it would be to remove the pain, you know, and how we create an emotionally based reality. It's all based on our emotions. That's why they feed us this fear all the time. And everything about this society, everything about this whole structure of ours is fear-based, all of it. And that's why they keep us in that, because we create reality with our emotions. And it was at that time when I had that realization that we create reality with our emotions that I decided it would be a good idea to be a radio host. But I did not know how to be a radio host. I'd only just discovered YouTube, and I thought YouTube was a place where high school kids put up their videos. You know, I'd never really looked at it. When I discovered YouTube, that there was actually truth videos on YouTube, I went, oh, my God, I can use this. So I started posting a few slideshows on YouTube. But I got up and I said, okay, well, it's an emotionally based reality. So I put myself in the emotional state where I was a radio host. And I got up and I did my work every day. I was hitting Yahoo chat rooms and doing everything I could to try to wake the world up. And I didn't know how to harness the power of the internet at all. I'm posting little slideshows on YouTube and I'm just doing my normal stuff. But I was in the emotional state that I was a radio host, and I was speaking to the world and they were listening to me. And then within 6 weeks, I was offered a job as a radio host. Through nothing that I did myself, I emotionally created that reality for myself. And it's the same when I went into Gaza. You know, when I went into Gaza with Ken O'Keefe, it was a really, really dangerous time for both of us. And even Ken said, you know, when, a couple of years later when we came out of Gaza, he said, there's certain things in there that you probably weren't aware of. And I said, it's okay, mate. Nothing could have gotten near us because I was in that emotional state. It's like I had a bubble around me. It was like I was in third-person mode. Even when we were detained by Hamas and the whole lot, I was in third-person mode, and I was just looking at it as an interesting place to be. When I'm underground in the tunnel thinking the one bomb, if Israel, you know, does a bomb or you know, Hamas lets off a rocket or anything, this whole tunnel could come down and bury me 50 meters underground. It's just a dirt tunnel with nothing to hold it up. You know, and I'm thinking, wow, what an interesting place to die if I was to die here now. Fancy that, a guy from Australia being lost in a tunnel 50 meters under the border of Gaza. That's a story in itself. And I found it really interesting that I would be in that position, but there was no fear there. None of it. None of that time in there did I feel fear at all. You know, and that kept me through, and that got me through the whole thing. And again, what is fear? Fear is not being in a state of not fear is being in a state of love. You know, people think love is this warm, fuzzy thing, but it isn't. It's not fear. That's what love is. You know, it's not being fearful of being yourself and not being fearful of knowing your own power and stepping into that power. Yeah, that's what it's all about, really. So, but that experience I had, it was so profound, absolutely unbelievably profound that I cannot even explain it to people. And like I said, I cried for 7.5 hours, and I was like 45 or something at the time. So, or even that, probably 50. So, yeah, that's no mean feat, sort of crying for that amount of time. So, you know, it was an amazing experience. And I can understand why people have that epiphany moment and think they are the second coming, because it's such a profound experience. You know, but it's realizing that, of course you are, because we all are. That's what this time is. That's the level of opportunity that this time provides for us.
There's an old saying, yeah. We are the ones we've been waiting for.
Exactly. And that is so true. And all people have to do is discover themselves, rediscover themselves, remember themselves, and step out of the fear of being themselves.
Because
that's what's going to change things.
I misunderstood what you said about that moment, because I associated the crying, because there's a different one that actually happened for me. I sat bolt upright in bed, and it was like 7 o'clock in the morning, and I was like, man, I need to get a camera and do a radio show, like just do it full time. And I was lucky, called my dad, asked for 10,000, got 5, gave half to my producer, gave the other half to my wife for a car. And for some reason, ever since that day, every single time I've gone out and done protests, done radio shows, there's all these opportunities keep coming up, and every single bill that I've ever had gets paid, right? Every time I'm overly generous with money that I don't have, for some reason, that exact amount that I gave away comes back to me within a day or so of me giving it away.
That has happened to me more times than you could possibly imagine, Vinny, like ridiculous.
It's a daily thing, isn't it?
It's happened in a way that has been just to demonstrate to others what happens when you lose the fear of giving, you know, and just giving randomly. If your intuition tells you to give to someone, you should give to them. And I've done that. I gave away all the money in my wallet one day and then came home to find that I had got exactly that amount donated to me that day. And I hadn't received a donation for like a month, you know, and it was that exact amount. And it was only because I believe that the person with me was just so amazed that I would give away the last money in my wallet. And they just wouldn't stop going on about it all day. You know, how that was just such a silly thing for me to do. And I said, hey, don't worry about it. It'll come back to me. And then as soon as we got home, there were 2 messages, and that was the exact amount. And those sort of things happen just as a demonstration to people what happens when you lose your attachment to giving. You lose fear of giving, because that's really what it is. It's a fear of giving. It's
the fear of not having
fear
enough.
Fear of shortage. The fear of shortage. The fear of scarcity. Which is what... Well, that's what this system generates.
You know what that triggers in me, bro? Is advertising, right? I was just thinking about advertising, and how they actually promote things. And what it is promoting a fear of scarcity. That's the only thing that advertisers is getting people to part with their money. That's why people who sell you survival equipment and so on and so forth about all the dangers and everything's coming to kill you are the people that have all the flash studios and live in the nice houses and things like that and can afford divorce settlements and that kind of thing. But the people that are actually selling you happiness and enlightenment and awakening don't charge you for it, and they don't make you feel like you're missing out if you don't give something. And that is why you give.
Well, yeah, you know, it works. It really does if people can learn how to give, you know. And like getting back to that experience again for a moment, that crying, that 7.5 hours of crying, that was simply having that amount of emotion downloaded into you. Like the beauty too of this reality, that the gift that this life is so incredible, Vinny, and the potential that the human species has is so off the charts. It's incredible. It's absolutely amazing to see it and to really feel it, you know, and to also feel, you know, that beauty and that joy and that potential and the suffering that we go through, that we put ourselves through our failure to just look within and just, you know, really, really see ourselves as what we are, you know, and our willingness to inflict our belief systems on others, which is what all of this conflict is about. All conflict, really, it's about imposing your belief system on others. You know, everybody with their conflicting beliefs of what should be right or what their idea of right is, or, you know, it's absurd. It really is. And we have so much potential. And to experience all of that and to see the pain and feel that pain, It was such a profound thing. I can't even describe it. But that's really what set me on the path to doing what I'm doing now. That moment that I had there, I thought, you know, we have to change this, because we have such a potential and we have such an opportunity for change right now. And I realized that, you know, everything I'd done in my life up to that point, all the working as a musician and traveling and getting to see the world and getting to see the things that I did and getting the time to research the things that I've done, and it had all been for a reason. It had all given me the skills that I needed to do exactly what I'm doing now, and that was the true path that I was supposed to be on. So I just put myself in that state and it all just unfolded for me, you know, by putting myself in that emotional state. So that's what you've got to look at in all of these conflicts, you know, when you look at this this globe earth flat earth debate. What's the emotional state that you're in when you're discussing this topic with people? Because I'm not seeing discussion, I'm seeing arguments, I'm seeing hatred, I'm seeing finger pointing, I'm seeing accusation. And all of this is based in fear. All of it. It's a failure to see yourself enough and step into yourself enough to respect yourself enough to be able to respect other people. And it also shows a very insecure belief in what you're holding. Because when people get fanatical about things and they have to constantly talk about them and constantly reinforce them, it's because their belief rests on a pretty frail foundation and they know it. And they're afraid that they may be wrong. That's why people become fanatical and become angry and start to push their beliefs on others and from the both sides.
It's like, you know, bluffing.
Same with religion, same with all of it.
It's like bluffing at the poker table. You know how you can read people and sometimes they get really tense and it shows when they're lying because they're about to lose something and they've got nothing to back it up. And so they kind of, it's almost like they're desperately trying to project a different image so that you won't know that they've got nothing.
Well, it's kind of like that, but it's not wanting to face that you don't actually believe in what you're saying. That's what causes fanaticism in anything. And I believe that is because people don't keep an open mind because they're so convinced that they need to state absolutes. And that's what's happened. That's what's wrong with this whole thing is the stating of absolutes, as I said before. That's what is the divisive mechanism, because you're stating absolutes in an argument where there are no absolutes. And by stating absolutes, of course, you're going to become fanatical about it and you're going to become aggressive about it because you don't want to think that you may not be right and there may be no absolutes. But that is the truth of the matter. There are no absolutes. So
I've had friends do this to me as well, accuse me of things and be mean to me. You know, like the people who've known me for like nearly 10 years since I even began doing what I'm doing, and to hear accusations like this coming out of it when they should know better, it just clued me into the fact that they, over the last 10 years, didn't change like I did. They didn't learn anything different to what they'd already believed. And as a result, they became angrier and didn't produce anything of value to support their belief structure. They only put the structure in their head, solid and strong and unassailable by anybody else wishing to convince them otherwise. Now, it's the thing, can you get a sense of achievement by accomplishing something only within yourself? And personally, I actually prefer the 3D universe achievements, like something that other people can see and touch and feel. Like producing music, for example, it's something that's real because people can hear it. Or making a really beautiful sculpture, it's real because people can touch it. Those are the kind of things that we can make and produce if we don't live in our head and we start realizing that there's an entire world around us that is just waiting for us to use it to create things that make it better.
Well, yeah, there's lots of things we can do to make the world better. But, you know, if we don't stop fighting with each other, it's just not going to happen at all. So that's the problem. You know, people have to see whether their belief is creating, you know, animosity. And what like I said before, the thing that fascinates me more than anything is how willing people are to turn on their friends who don't adopt their belief system. This is a scary thing to see, how aggressive people become simply because someone else has a different belief. You know, that is a really scary thing. I mean, honestly, people, like I said, people that know me have been questioning my integrity simply because I'm not supporting the flat earth model because, like I said, to me, the jury's still out. And that's a scary thing to see that. I really wish people would step back and look at that. You know, if you're falling out with your friends over a belief system that you've adopted, you know, you've really got to look at how you're presenting this belief system and really whether you should have adopted it, whether maybe you should be looking at it as something that's interesting that you could perhaps research and work towards proving and look at how you're going to do that. How are you going to ever research it and prove it? Well, you've got to establish freedom first, because you honestly can't go to these places to prove anything. So until then, it's all speculation, you know. And if you're falling out with your friends over whatever belief you've got, you got to start questioning these beliefs and start looking at it from a more humanitarian perspective and a more human perspective. I really think we do. We've got to start respecting each other. That's the big downfall of the movement at the moment. And it's gotten worse. It really has. But again, it's an opportunity. There is a certain amount of camaraderie in both sides of the fence. If we can convince both sides of the fence to stop stating absolutes and realize that both sides of the fence are indeed valid and that both sides of the fence have merit and that both sides of the fence have good points and that we're all actually fighting a common battle here towards a common goal, then perhaps we can get somewhere, you know.
It's the word ego gets dropped a lot of the times, and ironically, it's the people who are the most egotistical sometimes, I'm not saying all the times, who drop the word ego. Oh, you're being egotistical because you don't blindly believe what I'm saying. The irony is not lost on me. And it seems that if you're playing opposite games, that's what you do. If you're a Nazi, you call your opponents Nazis. If you don't know anything about science, you accuse the other people of not knowing anything about science, etc., etc. It means you don't need any originality in order to come up with an argument that your opponent can't beat. You just copy what they say and repeat it back to them in a different, more snooty way.
Well, you just project what you are onto other people. You know, you look at Israel. I'm getting changed in topic for a minute. Look at everything Israel says about the Palestinians. It's exactly what Israel does to the Palestinians. It's the same thing. It's the same sort of a thing. You know, like when you get out there, most of the people trolling the threads, you know, calling everybody a shill, these are probably paid operatives that are doing that, you know. And that's their job, is to go out there and to create this distrust. You find that those who you know, create accusations about others are usually doing the things that they accuse others of doing.
I wonder that's what percentage, you know, how we know that there are paid informants and people who are actually paid by the click, like maybe 50 cents or something like that to do pro-Israeli comments and session. This has been in the news recently. And I wonder, I was just thinking, what percentage of all the comments that I would think are doing that are done by genuine people who are just wrong and believe the propaganda versus the ones who are being paid to spread that propaganda? Now, a scenario comes into mind. Imagine if you go, hey, who in here is an internet troll? And about 500 hands go up and there's only like about 512 people in the meeting hall.
Yeah, well, yeah. It's come out on the news recently. I mean, they've openly said it, that the CIA employs a panel of people to go out there and troll alternate media and create dissent. And that's what they're paid to do. There's a whole unit that does this. So, you know, you've got to look at where a lot of the comments are coming from. You know, often I'll reply to some of them just with a little bit of logic and just show them up for what they are, because I think it's important for people who read the threads. So
that's another important point.
You can't waste too much time on feeding the trolls. You really can't, because you don't know how many of them are paid operatives and they've admitted that they're doing it. And there are whole units that this is exactly what they do all day. Is troll social media and paste
what
dissent and negative comments.
Is whenever there's a hurricane, it means you've got extra wind energy. It's about turning the element to your advantage and generating something off of it. I've found if you actually do sit in there and stick in there with some people, they can actually be brought around. However, there are those who are obviously the paid trolls who you really, really favour the abusive narrative with the discussion, even though you ask them to stop it. But what's really important here is that my replies tend to be very cogent. If somebody asks a question of me, I try to answer it with all the available information that I have in my brain. And there's a bit in there. So sometimes I can come up with these really brilliant explanations that I wouldn't have come up with had somebody not asked me the question. And when you copy-paste those and you make Facebook statuses or you read them out on air, etc., you're actually creating content, valid, really useful content, out of opposition. And I think that is one reason to participate in those threads, not to mention the people who read through those and, you'll get a sense for who's more sane in the argument, who presents more compelling evidence. If you do listen to both sides, this is the entire reason why people have debates. Debate is a professional, courteous exchange of facts and information in order to prove a point. Okay? But the point is not necessarily being proved to the other side. The point is often being proved for those in the audience who get to make up their own mind about who is correct.
Exactly. That's why I used to do the threads back in the old days when, before I discovered YouTube or anything, I used to, you know, trying to get the truth out, I used to hit Yahoo chat, you know, like the news threads and stuff like this, and I'd be commenting on different topics. And I'd start commenting, I'd be posting stuff about 9/11 and stuff, this just happened, you know. And I'd be there posting on these threads, and I'd get a lot of people come on and just start attacking me and abusing me. You get four or five people and you're battling this debate against four or five people who are all calling you an idiot and ad hominem attacks and all sorts of stuff. And I just presented solid evidence the whole way through. And I thought, I know people are reading this. I know that there's other people that are reading this thread that are not participating. And these threads sometimes would go for a couple of days, 2 or 3 days, and they'd be 3 or 4 pages long sometimes, these threads. And, then they just peter out and they go away. And then you'd start getting heaps and heaps of comments from other people who'd read the thread and they say, I've been watching this debate with interest and none of you guys laid a glove on Max. And this information is gold and blah, blah, blah. So you're right. So yeah, when people do post things like that that are obviously trollish attacks, if you can reply to them in a concise manner, then it's a good thing for people to read. I mean, sometimes I'm not. Sometimes I'll say a few things and they'll just keep going. I'll just say, look, you know, can I swear? You know, I'll just say, you know, go fuck yourself and I can lend you a chainsaw if you'd like to do the job properly, you know. So it does come to that sometimes. And I have no problem saying that, you know. I'm sick of it. If you're going to troll my threads and come here and make insults. Yeah, if you go here and you're going to troll my threads and make all these insults and accusations, yeah, hey, go fuck yourself. Here's a chainsaw or a pineapple or something. If you need a bigger blade, I'll give you one. You know, but sit on that and rotate for a while because I don't want you coming here trolling my threads. And I have no problem saying that sort of stuff. I mean, really, it just gets ridiculous. And but a lot of the threads, I mean, I'll just reply with a concise reply because it needs to be done because people need to see how these things work and how these trolls work. And they need to see, you know, a lot of these guys offer faulty science. Like you say, they accuse you of doing things like, you know, are you qualified to make this statement? Well, no, I'm not. I asked the surveyor, are you qualified to make the statement you made, seeing as how that's the standard that you're setting, you know, and they don't respond to posts like that. But it kind of shows them up for what they are. So, you know, it can be done constructively, but sometimes you just think, I've had enough. So you just give them a mouthful and tell them to leave.
Well, there's a breaking point. There's a time and a place. Today, I could have, if I wanted to, engaged in two separate threads where I was arguing with certain people. But I told them, guys, look, I'm very, very sorry. I can't participate in this thread anymore because I've got work to do. I've got three two-hour videos to make in the next 3 hours. So I really just don't have the time to debate this right now. But I've made thousands of videos on the subject or blah, 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 blah. And here's a few links and we'll get back to you soon.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure we've ruffled a few feathers with this show today. But I'm actually going on to a Flat Earth panel on Thursday. My time will be Friday, my time. But Thursday, US time, I think, to have a roundtable discussion with a couple of Flat Earthers to try to inject a little bit of sanity into this debate.
I love the irony of a flat Earth roundtable panel.
it's an interesting thing, but I just you know, because all of this animosity's got to stop. You know, I respect what they're doing. I respect the research, but all the dogmatic approach and the stating of absolutes and the arguing and the insults and the accusations, this has to stop. It's absolutely counterproductive. So hopefully we'll bring a little bit of sanity back to the movement on Thursday.
I think it just needs to be incorporated into the movement, right? Topics and conspiracies come to popularization, and they actually just get incorporated into the global index of knowledge that humanity now possesses. It's a consistent awakening process. What's problematic is that some people think that they've escaped the matrix only to fall into another one. This is the game, ladies and gentlemen. If you've seen the movie Predators, you know that there is no edge of the preserve, okay? You're on a game planet. It's their game. It's their planet. They're going to track us down. They're going to hunt us. They're going to study us. They're going to find out what makes us tick. And then, eventually, they're going to kill us. Okay? It's what they do, because they're predators. They don't have any other sport that gives them that kind of satisfaction than genocide on a global level for the benefit of themselves and their own families only. That is what we're up against. People need to understand that if you accuse somebody of being a shill for the government or something of that nature, ask yourself this question. Are they actually behaving much like an elite predator would? No? They're exhibiting none of the symptoms? None of the scumbaggery? Okay, then stop throwing around accusations until you've actually got something solid to throw. Otherwise, it's like Jan Ervin said, you're sending mental viruses downstream. It's like you're taking a dump in my river, okay? I fill up my teapot at that river in the morning, and I don't like the taste of your crap in it. It's that simple. This is what you're doing when you're not arguing with people in a reasonable, respectful, and caring manner, with the intention of helping somebody else come to a realization gently without forcing it on them like a religious zealot.
Well, yeah, there's certainly a lot of that. I mean, we get that. I mean, not just in this debate, we get it. You even get it in the 9/11 debate. I mean, you get it all through all these.
It's symptomatic.
Well, it is, you know, and again, it's a result of belief systems, you know, when ultimately we don't really know much yet. You know, we know that everything's wrong and we know that we've been lied to on all counts. But, you know, honestly, nobody really knows what's going on yet, because we've never had, you know, the freedom to really find out what's going on. We can guess, we can, you know, make, you know, educated guesses. We can make assumptions, you know, we can put forth theories. But without gaining freedom, you know, arguing absolutes is a futile cause. You know, there are no absolutes, not yet. You know, the only thing I know is absolute is that love will get us out of this. If we can step out of fear, that will get us out of this. To me, that's absolute. I really truly believe that to be true.
I disagree with you there. Of my being. I think dark comedy is actually going to be the one to get us through this.
Well, yeah. Maybe as well. We'll certainly need some of that. That might help us step out of the fear. But I do believe that. I have an incredible amount of faith in the human spirit. I have an incredible amount of faith in mankind to be able to get through this if we can just step out of the wrong emotion and into the right one, you know. And it's all opportunity, Vinny. It's all opportunity. So hopefully we'll pull through this. Hopefully this will be, you know, a test for us. I mean, I think it's all tests anyway, you know, a test of whether we can tolerate others' beliefs, a test of how tolerant we are, a test of whether we can come together as one species, as one, you know, wave of humanity, and allow each other to think differently. You know, I think it's a test of all of these things, and it has the potential to actually bring a lot of people together if some sanity can be injected into it and back into the movement, you know, and people can realize that it isn't about self-glory, it isn't about any one idea being right, it's about freedom. And finding the freedom to figure out what exactly is going on. Because, you know, the truth is we've been lied to about everything on every single level you can think about. So, you know, who knows? Who knows what's actually happening
well,
here?
That's so exactly now, right. And I think that people have they've become so obsessed with being right that they've forgotten that being right isn't as important as just doing the right thing. Doing the right thing is something most people actually understand right now at this very minute. But who's right about everything? Nobody knows. So just do what's right and stop worrying about whether or not you're right.
Exactly. You know, the only thing that I'm truly an authority on is myself, honestly. That's the only thing that I can state that I know 100% is me. You know, and actually, I'm still figuring it out. So, you know, it's an ongoing journey. So,
well,
yeah,
what you could say
stating absolutes
is that you know you better than anybody.
Well, yeah, that's about it. But, you know, I'm still figuring the whole thing out. So, you know, it's not about what we're doing, I don't think. We've been misdirected. We've been so misdirected, you know, and we've got to stop forcing our arguments and beliefs on others and start having discussions and debates rather than arguments. It's so important.
And I think also people need to understand the importance of coming together and just actually having some fun with each other, because if you can have a talk about a really serious topic, like we're doing right now, but you can also have fun doing it, you know, you can have a few laughs, you can tell a joke, you can smile, and you don't take it so seriously that what you're saying gets lost in translation. I think if we are more open, we get to receive a lot more wisdom. The more you listen to with an open mind and an open heart, the more you're actually able to receive. If you treat people aggressively, their minds and their hearts will often close in front of you. For example, somebody might come up to me and they want my help with a video project, and they start off with, "Vinny, why don't you help me with my video project if you're such a big badass?" It's just like, am I more likely or less likely to help that piece of shit? No? Okay. See, there's an approach to things. And sometimes you have to learn by trial and error. But if you're really lucky, like some people have been, you'll have a mentor or a trainer or some kind of person to look up to who embodies the kind of way that you want to talk to people, that you want to communicate and get the sort of results you want out of that communication. Do you want to convey an idea and just be able to convey it well enough that people find it interesting while you're conveying it, just to hold their attention enough long enough to impart an idea to them? Is that something you want to do? Then pay attention to how people do it. It's the same with everything. Everything that we've discussed here, as I mentioned before, is symptomatic. These are merely signs. Like a headache is a sign of dehydration. There is an inherent sickness and malnutrition in our minds and our hearts globally. And we're trying, people like myself and Max, to heal that illness with love.
Well, yeah. I was going to say something then, but I lost track of what I wanted to say.
I'm such a son of a bitch. I'm sorry, bro.
That's all right, mate. That's okay. But like I keep saying, we've got to put down all our differences, and we've got to stop the arguments. I really wanted to say something then. Talk again a bit, Vinny, while I think of it.
Well. There's importance, right? Feel free to interrupt me whenever you
well, what were you saying? What did you say before? Because it was actually a point I wanted to make. What were you just talking about?
I was talking about having our open hearts and our open minds and being able to get a whole bunch of more information into our heads than when we're closed off, and that when we're mean to people and they basically become unwilling to help us or even really care about us. And it's basically unproductive, and it's very hard to learn via trial and error to learn out how to communicate effectively or get ideas across to people and just maintain their attention.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, well, that's what I was going to say, is that what our problem is really that we're not prepared to listen to people. You know, when people start talking to us, it's usually as soon as people start talking to us, immediately we're projecting our own concepts and our own ideas and our own beliefs over what they're saying. And very often, you know, we will interrupt people halfway through what they're trying to tell us in order to interject our opinion onto what they've just said. And we haven't even listened to what they've said because we've already got an opinion of it and they haven't even finished, you know. So we tend to do this, and we enter into these debates, and we've already got a concrete opinion of what our belief is, and we're not prepared to deviate from that opinion. And we enter into these debates with the intention of convincing the other person to adopt our belief system. We don't go into them with an open mind, and we don't go in there prepared to listen to what they're saying. We've already got a predetermined outcome to what this debate should be. And that's no way to enter a debate. It's no way to have a creative discussion, and that is no path to knowledge. You know, because like I keep saying, your belief is the enemy of knowledge. As soon as you lock yourself into a belief, you close yourself off to anything else, no matter how valid the information might be. And there's always another doorway. There is always another doorway. For God's sake, we haven't even got access to all of our senses. Now, some of the stuff that I've experienced in ceremony and some of the stuff I've experienced in meditation, there's a lot more going on in this reality than we can actually perceive with the five senses that we're using right now. So, you know, we don't even know ourselves yet. We don't even know what we're capable of yet. So how can we possibly know what this reality is yet? You know, so we've got to be prepared to listen to people and not project our concept of what they're saying over what they're saying. Actually listen to what they're saying. Close down all of that chatter in your head, all of those projections in your head. Put yourself in a state of complete silence and actually listen to every word that they're saying and take it in for what they are actually saying. Don't put your own meanings and interpretations on what they're saying. Just listen to what they're saying. You know, we don't do that. And I think it's important that we learn how to listen. It's imperative.
There's no need to put words in other people's mouths or to deduce what they're saying before they've even finished speaking, or to put them in a little pigeonhole or a box and then attach excuses to that box on a little post-it note saying, don't listen to this person. Okay, that's not open-minded, yeah. Is it? Is that the thirst for knowledge? Yeah. Is that enlightenment, is it?
Exactly. That sort of stuff happens all the time. I have people posting on my threads, oh, well, you said this. Why are you saying this? And I'm saying, well, show me where I said that. Show me my exact words, not your interpretation of my words, but show me my exact words.
I had that exact conversation today, bro.
It happens all the time because people are not prepared to listen. As soon as they start reading what you've written or start listening to what you're saying, they've already got their preformed opinion and they're already projecting their own interpretations of what you're saying according to their belief system. You know, they haven't put that down and they're not prepared to actually quieten their mind and actually listen to what you're saying. And this is a huge fault with many, many people, you know, myself included. I mean, I've done it. I'm guilty of this. We all do it. You know, but being aware of it, if you're aware that you're doing this, you actually begin to listen to people when they talk. You know, and that makes a big difference. You know, and once you become aware of it, it becomes quite easy to be aware of it and to actually listen to people and to quiet your mind when people are actually talking and not project your opinion or your interpretation or your belief system over what they're saying. Not looking for ways there, what they're saying contravenes with your belief system and points you can argue about. Just listen to what they're saying and take it in and try to see it from their perspective and then comment on what they've said. You know, talk to them about it. Don't argue about them. Don't call them idiots for not having your belief system. Don't launch into an ad hominem attack because this person doesn't believe the same thing as you. Even if they're completely wrong in what they believe, you know, they're stating their belief based on the information that they've had. You could actually help to re-educate the person if you were nice and kind and generous and gave a little bit of yourself. But you don't educate someone by calling them an idiot and saying they have to adopt your belief system or they're a fool. You know, they're a demon worshiper or whatever. I mean, it's ridiculous, some of the stuff that's coming out. You know, that everybody who believes the world anybody who doesn't believe the world is flat is a demon worshiper. Okay, really, that's an interesting thing to say. You know, I think that's a little bit extreme, personally. So, you know, people have got to really look at what they're saying and be prepared to listen to others and not project all their rubbish on them, honestly. I really believe that everybody's valid. Everybody's got a piece of the puzzle. And if we can just learn to respect each other, we're going to get to the bottom of it. You know, I really think we've got an opportunity here, Vinny.
There is one argument that gets thrown up. Oh, you're censoring free speech. It's like, no, we're not actually. We're saying that you can say whatever you want, so long as it's not really abusive. You know, give us any information you want. We're not going to like delete all your comments and everything. We want to actually know the truth. But we don't have to be attacked while we're doing it. And this goes for absolutely everybody. All right, now, there's no police force online, okay? There are managers of Facebook groups and profiles and things of that nature, but in most cases, they're not going to be able to identify and participate in every thread and block everybody they think is a government agent who's specifically there because of their psychopathic, narcissistic, sadistic personality. So, you need to have shall we say, a little bit of a thicker skin, which is very difficult for people who are, who like me, who are a bit narcissistic. Trust me, you have to be at least a tiny bit if you want to be a talk radio show host. But people who don't have a sense of grandiosity, it radio just doesn't suit them. They burn out after 6 months, a year or something like that. It's a very grueling industry, and unless you believe in yourself so much that you're willing to block out a lot of things, you can't really succeed in this game. That's how much it takes from you. That's how much it takes from everybody who dedicates themselves to a cause that they think is absolutely worthy. that's the reason why people dedicate their lives to things, is because they are the one who can do that in that particular time, in that particular place, and at the time that they decide to start doing it, it's the perfect time, isn't it? Right?
That's well, it is, you know. It is, and I do what I do because I continue to do what I do because I absolutely, sincerely, 100% believe in the message that I put out. I really do. I absolutely believe in the power of the human spirit. I believe in the power of humanity itself. I believe this is a time of incredible potential, and I've done everything I can to try to awaken people to their potential. That has been what I've done since day one. I want to change the human condition, and I totally believe that we can do it. If I didn't believe we could do it, and I thought all was lost, I wouldn't do this. I wouldn't continue the shows, you know. And I suppose there's a certain sense of ego in there, or narcissism, or whatever. I don't know. But I mean, I didn't even want to put my face out there when I started. I didn't want anyone to even know what I looked like. I just wanted to put a message out there because I really believe that humanity needed the message, you know. And you know, I felt like all of the work and all the research that I'd done and the understandings that I've got had helped me so much that I had a responsibility to make other people aware of the perspective that I have. You know, I had a responsibility to share my perspective and not asking anyone to adopt my belief systems. I don't want anyone to see me as a guru or anything, which is another reason why I was had no problems posting that rant the other day, because all these people who treat me like I'm some special type of guru thing. I'm not. I'm a musician. I'm just a, you know, just a guy who dropped out of high school in grade 10 and became a guitar player because I didn't have the aptitude or the willingness to do anything else. I didn't want to participate in this system at all right from day one. So, you know, you can't put me up on a pedestal because I'm nothing special. And that's the point, is that you don't have to be anything special to actually put your perspective out there and to help change this world into a better place. Anybody can do it.
Yeah.
Anybody can speak out. You just got to be willing to do it. And that's what got me on the path of doing what I do now, you know?
Mm. And I found on the path doing what I'm doing that once you start putting other people up on pedestals, you find that they freaking topple off of them. And guess who gets crushed when they come tumbling down? You, the stupid dipshit who put them up there in the first place.
Yeah, you know, everybody's special. There are no special people. Everybody has value. You know, some people, I'm really honored and I'm really humbled that so many people listen to the show and so many people send me kind emails, and I get people that tell me, you know, the show has really helped them and really helped them change their lives and got them through some really difficult times. And that's why I do it. That's what it's all about. You know, and that for me, that's food for me. Just seeing those comments and getting those emails from people is one of the things that keeps me going, because it's about just putting a perspective out there that you think may help others. You know, and if you're attacking people and belittling people and calling them idiots and all this stuff and engaging and trolling their threads, how is this helping people? How is this creating unity? How is this making a better world? How is it doing any of those things? You know, none of it makes sense, and you're being played. You know, if these people aren't all government trolls and stuff, if people are just doing this because they're so set in their belief that they need to attack others, they really need to step back and look at what they're doing and look at the emotional state they're in and look at the energy that they're creating out of all this, you know.
Look at the diet that they're on. The human condition.
Well, whatever their diet, I mean, but, you know, it's about changing the human condition, Vinny, and you're not going to change the human condition by attacking people.
Mm.
It's completely counterproductive. No matter what your belief system is, none of it makes sense. And it's a play. It's an absolute play. And that's absolutely how a psyop works. And that's why I really believe that this movement has been interjected. Now, it's almost like a gatekeeping movement, whether it's true or not. That's irrelevant. It's a gatekeeping movement because it has distracted everybody from the matter at hand. And the matter at hand isn't delving into a circular argument over something that cannot be proven before freedom is established. It's about establishing freedom.
Yeah.
And because we've got such a potential for freedom at the moment, and this is distracting from that, that's why this movement has come about right now. And I believe that's why it's grown so quickly. It's not normal to see something grow this quickly and to have this amount of effect in creating a wedge in the response to the system.
Now, the feds will bend people, all right, and they love using psychopaths and really nasty people to do their dirty work because, hey, That's who they can bend over a barrel. If they go, well, little Johnny, I know that you don't want to go back to jail. So I'll tell you what, you're going to become a great big superstar. You're going to get hundreds of thousands of YouTube hits. You're going to be all over the news. You're going to be a part of public consciousness. If you spread some bullshit for us. Or life in a supermax prison with a black bag over your head. An earplug so you can't hear anything either. So each moment feels like an hour. And each day feels like an eternity. Until you die. What option would you take, ladies and gentlemen? This is another thing that I really want to stress to people. There may come a time, I certainly hope it doesn't, and I don't actually think it will, where I get corrupted. Okay? If you see this happen, you have to do what I would do for you. Expose me. Take my audience away from me so that I can't hurt and mislead them. So that whoever's controlling me or whatever has taken me over won't succeed. Don't think that, you know, you're hurting me or whatever. Because if that happens, it's not me anymore.
Yeah, I can kind of agree with that sentiment, Vinny. I can absolutely agree with that sentiment. It is strange how people change. And we've got to really, you know, focus on what the real issues are and what the real solutions are. And all of the fighting's got to stop. All of the attacking of other people has got to stop. You know, everybody has value and everybody has a piece of the puzzle and everybody's doing their bit to bring about change. Everybody in this movement is doing their bit to do what they believe may bring about change. But it's those that go out of their way to attack others in the movement that are doing the most damage to the movement. And most of these people, I'm convinced, are operatives. I really do believe that. I think there are a great many operatives out there. Virtually anybody who's posting hatred about other researchers, anybody who's posting hatred about people who are really trying to make a difference, I think is an operative. Of course, you know, as they say, if you're not over the target, you don't get the flack. I think that's why I've been targeted so much. Like I said, I really believe in the message that I put out, Vinny. I really do. I think that we have a massive amount of solutions here available to us if we could just put down all this stuff with each other. I mean, I've been saying virtually the same message for the last almost 8 years on the radio show. So yeah,
it's called really, being consistent.
It's really been the one message. It's just said, you know, millions of different ways, because ultimately, you know, when you find the way out of this mess, and I can see it so clearly, and I'm not saying I have any answers because I don't. I don't know what the future looks like. I don't know what any systems we should have in, but I know we need unity. I know we need respect. And I know that we're not going to have that unless we can understand ourselves. We've got to do a little bit of inner work, but we've got to apply that to the outer world. And that's what we're forgetting to do. And I really think that we can change the world in a day if people just wake up to themselves. I really do. I have an incredible amount of faith in humanity. And the message has been consistent. It really hasn't changed. Maybe it's got a little bit desperate over the last 18 months or so. I mean, the first few years were all very, very spiritually based shows, all about doing inner work. And it's changed a little bit in the last 18 months because, you know, frankly, the situation's got a little desperate and people need to start applying themselves and then doing this inner work and applying it to the world. So it's changed a little bit, but ultimately it's been the same message right down the line. And, you know, the fact that people are attacking me and trying to force me to adopt a different message and move from my path and move from my message and adopt a new belief system would indicate to me that I'm on the right path, because the attacks that I've received have been totally orchestrated. I really believe it. It's been a concerted effort. It's been a targeted attack. So, it ultimately gives me faith in what I do to know that these sorts of things happen. So, you know, I won't stray from my path, I hope. I don't think anything will happen to me. But, yeah, hey, if anything does, yeah, hey, take me down. Take me down, absolutely. If I stray from the message that I've always had, please. You know, if I start promoting the Rothschilds or start posting hatred of people. And, again, you know, with that rant that I posted the other day, people have said, well, it's all the hatred. There's no hatred in that. It was passion. It was passion and absolute, utter, complete frustration. Yeah, and hurt and disappointment.
Yeah, I was going to say hurt.
Well, yeah, and I'm quite entitled to feel those emotions, because I was very hurt by those incredibly toxic remarks that were made about me. And I have every right to express my emotions the way I do. And also, I wanted to put it out there because I want people to know I'm human, that I'm not a guru, I'm not anything special, I'm just Max, and you can do what I do if you're just prepared to speak.
Thank you very much, Max Egan. Ladies and gentlemen, thecrowhouse.com is his website. He has large quantities of videos, does regular radio shows, has done some incredible documentaries. You got to check that out. Somebody said to me today, Vinny, I saw one of your videos about the TPPA and you sound really depressing and hopeless. And I go, dude, you sampled 1/5,000th of the available content on my website. I can assure you, I'm a lot more complex being than that one show. Same is true for Max. The same is true for all of us. And that's why we need to listen. We'll see you again sometime, folks. Thanks for listening.